Morning. I want to start our message out in Matthew chapter 5 here when our main guy up there gets situated. Wonderful thing has happened today that I pray for. The clock ain't working, so I don't have to worry about time or nothing. You know, in the old days, I heard him say one time, What does it mean? And I took my phone out too. What does it mean when the pastor takes his watch off? And they said, absolutely nothing. So, anyway, I've got a sign out there. Kind of like we're at a concert, instead of, you know, showing the light there, we can show the, hey, Ed, look what time it is. Time to shut up, all right? But I'm getting a little early start today, so I want to begin reading this morning in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read 5 verses here. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now, I know many of you here remember what I preached on 17 years ago, right? Yes, amen. I know you all keep it. I know you're note takers. I know you've got files at home where you could tell me what I preached on a year ago this Sunday. So I know you do that. Well, I say all that because 17 years ago, I did a little mini sermon series that today I want to go back and revisit and revise it and also refresh it. I like to go back sometimes and see what I talked about that long ago and think, I wouldn't talk about that again. I wouldn't mention that again. Things have changed here. And this is one of these messages. In fact, the sermon series I want to begin this morning up here, let your answer be yes or no. Let your answer be yes or no. And Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, of course, today I want to talk about the yes. Let your answer be yes. Let your yes be yes. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, I want to talk about no. Let your no be no. And then, in the last Sunday of this month, I want to talk about the empty yes and the negotiable no. So I want to talk about these two little words that basically make up all of our lives. We live by these words. We die by these words. We're either going to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. And if we're lost, we're saying no. All right? There's no middle ground. We'll get to that in a moment. But, you think about it, life is full of options. And yet, all of our options really come down to these two little words, yes or no. Short words, but most powerful words. They pack a punch. And Jesus said, when it comes down to our communications, no matter how much we may talk, it all comes down to, is it yes or is it no? Now, does our yes mean yes? And does our no mean no? Do we say what we mean or mean what we say? And I want to begin this morning in talking about some positives that are very, very important to me. And the first one point I want to make this morning is God, our God is a God of yes. And I go back to the very beginning, and I want you to see here what the Bible tells us about what was taking place in that garden. And this is one of the most misconstrued verses there is, because I think you would, the average person out here, you would think, well, there was just a couple of choices. No, there wasn't. Notice what the Bible says here. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. All right? Imagine you're going through a buffet line. All right? You can have anything you want. We've went through those kind of lines. I mean, some of these crazy places, I know that one over in Joplin, which I would try to stay away from personally, that steakhouse over in Joplin, I can't think of the Golden Corral, thank you. They've got so many. We haven't been there for several years. I know at one time they had these chocolate fountains and all this other stuff. I mean, just things that are just, you know, way out there. But notice he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right? We have a yes and we have a no. But here's my little commentary. So God gave them just one no in the midst of a thousand yeses. Now, so often, again, we think the opposite when it comes to God. We think he's always saying no, 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 because we're familiar with the commandments and we're familiar with the obedience that is required of us. But it's the devil that wants us to think negative about God. In fact, I go to Genesis and I go to the very next chapter, and what does the devil do? Well, he does this to us all the time. He zeroes in. Here we are. Now, the serpent was more subtle, again, crafty. He's slick. He's clever. He deceives. Notice that any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden, which is obviously, as we've just read, a lie. But what he's trying to foist upon her and us is our God is a negative God. He's a cosmic killjoy, all right? He just comes along, and when he sees anyone having fun, okay, he's going to try to throw some water on it. Throw some cold water on it. But yet, what is true of God? He wants us to enjoy, to enjoy. He doesn't want us to come to church and act like every church is a funeral service, all right? He wants us to come and exude the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord, as the Bible says, is my strength. That's where the joy comes from. Joy, joy of the Lord. Now, so many times in churches, all right, you see people with the negative faces, like they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and they're afraid to even converse, all right? And in some churches, they require certain clothing, all right, for you to come, all right? You got to please God with this clothing that you wear in order to satisfy him, so make sure you fall in line. And I've told, you know, horror stories before of certain situations I know in church, some churches where they do not allow women to wear pants. They have to wear dresses. And I remember one situation where they sent, this lady kept coming to the church, and she was wearing pants, so they sent her a dress in the mail, all right? They want to let you know this is what is standard procedure here. This is what is accepted and this is not. And I say all that because I want to quote a minister. And he said this, I grew up in a small mill village church where every Sunday we were told what not to do. We were against sin, period. But honestly, we didn't know what we were for. We were just against. For most of us, Christianity seems to be defined by those things we aren't supposed to do. We always know what we aren't supposed to do, but few of us know what we should be living for, all right? And that is what, again, goes back clear to what these verses that I read to you this morning. It goes back to the devil. God said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't touch any tree. And that's obviously not the case. Now, I go back in my time when I was lost, and I had a group of people that I ran with, friends at the time, and I remember one of my old running mates saying to me, you don't want to become a Christian, for then you won't have any fun. Okay? I go back to this minister here. I go back to this church that he came from. All right? What is the mantra? No fun allowed. We're against everything to the point we don't even know what we're for. It's like, all right, it's like taking bad medicine in order to get well, okay? You don't like the taste of the medicine and you choke it down because the only alternative is being sick. And that's the way, again, some people are when it comes to their faith, all right? It's all negative. It's all a dour face. It's all sadness. But I ask you, have you ever heard someone say, let me tell you what the devil has done for me? All right? No, I haven't, but I've had people tell me, let me tell you what the Lord's doing for me. Doing for me. Now, I want to show you in Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Bible says, for the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Notice this. Should be underlined if we're not familiar with it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. In other words, if it'll make you healthy, if it'll make you happy, if it'll make you holy, God says, yes, yes, yes. And like we go back to the very beginning, the only no was one thing, all right? And how many times have we let that one thing become the thing we couldn't stay away from, like Adam and Eve, all right? So the onus is not on God, it's on us, which leads me to my second point I want to share with you this morning, and that is the wrong yes to God. And I want to go back to our text and just this first verse, because he says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. Now, if you're familiar with, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. If you're familiar with this chapter, Jesus went through a series of statements where he said, you've been taught this way, but you've been taught wrong. You've learned this way, but you need to unlearn it. In other words, you've been taught, okay, in relationship to murder, hey, if you've never shot anyone, never killed anyone, then hey, I'm off scot-free. But no, he says, but that might be the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law is, have you ever hated someone? And hate is the first step to murder. And of course, he mentions this on several different topics and so on and so forth regarding lust in your heart and so on and so forth. So now he introduces this statement here when he talks about, notice, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Now, let's think about what he's saying here in this passage of Scripture. I want to talk about, first of all, about taking an oath, all right? Swearing to tell the whole truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, I want to give you a definition, all right? Homemade definition up here on the screen. An oath is simply, and again, we don't realize how exhaustive it was and what it meant to them, all right, when they would raise their hand or when they would swear. They didn't have to raise their hand. They would just make a statement. Notice, it is making a statement and calling God to witness to the truth of that statement. And notice this, and invoking a curse from God if, in fact, you're not telling the truth. We do it. We swear. We say, I swear to God, it's the truth. All right? Now, of course, we'll do that in a court of law. All right? We'll do that in a marriage ceremony. And the best definition that we have of an oath is found in the Bible over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 14, which says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. In other words, what the Word of God is saying is, if I'm going to swear, all right, I'm going to swear on something greater than me. And there's nothing greater than God, all right? And so that is what Jesus is talking about here. In other words, when you want to confirm, hey, I'm telling you the truth. By God's help, I'm telling you the truth. Believe me. Believe what I say. I want you to understand this. Now, I want to tell you, and I'm not going to go into it exhaustively, but God used oaths on himself. Paul used oaths. David used oaths. Abraham used oaths. Isaac, Jacob, Jonathan. But here's something interesting. You know how many peace treaties in history of the world have been broken? All of them. I remember, if you read the Old Testament, and God would give a command out there, he'd throw a command out there, and the people would say in unison, all the Lord said, we will do. We will do. And then you turn the page, and what? They're already breaking what they've claimed that they were going to fulfill. Now, an ultimate bad example of this is a man that we got two letters of his in our Bible. And in fact, he was one of the, in the inner circle of Jesus' group, and that was the Apostle Peter. I want you to see how he broke an oath. Over in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 71. Notice, and again, this is when Jesus had been taken away to stand before in the court, and his disciples were scattering, you know, and before he was crucified. Notice, and when he, that is Peter, had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Points him out. Of course, they're trying to find out who his followers were because they want to do the same thing to them that they did to Jesus. That's why they're all scattering. They don't want to, you know, face that. But again, he denied, notice, Peter, with an oath, I do not know the man. In other words, he's saying here, we just have the sentence, I do not know the man, but we don't have the oath he makes, which we just read what an oath was. I'm saying with God as my witness, I don't know this man. All right. Now notice verse 73. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Now, notice, and here's where the confusion lies. He didn't start saying, I don't know that blankety blank Jesus. That's not what happened here. He's swearing and taking an oath, I do not know the man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yes. Somebody obviously doesn't know what I do on Sunday morning. But anyway, he's lying. He's lying before witnesses. He's lying before the lost world. He's dragging his God's name through the mud because he's swearing something that he doesn't know. He doesn't realize, again, the danger that he's putting himself into because he's breaking commandment number 3, which again there's confusion over because notice if you would, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Again, the confusion with this is we're thinking, well, you know, it's taking God's name in vain, like when we use profanity. But that's not the essence of what this is at all. Notice, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In other words, again, don't swear you're telling the truth and use God as your witness when you're lying, all right? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That name, think about it. What has become fashionable? I tell you what, two words that I think of, symbolic words, acronyms. LOL, laugh out loud, tragically overused, but that has nothing in pales in comparison to OMG, OMG this, OMG that, OMG. Just like we're just throwing it out there. Again, I'm not going to get into these euphemisms because we're all guilty of saying, you know, things like, well, you know, dadgummit or gosh darn or stuff like that. What I'm getting at here is taking the sacred name and applying it to everyday life and just throwing this name around like it don't mean anything, and that the fact that one of these days we're going to have to give an answer of how we treated God. And how you treat someone's name is how what you really think of that person. Can you imagine if I got up here and I started swearing about my dad or started saying false things about my dad or saying, well, my dad would agree with this when it's completely foreign to him. He would do nothing. I've even heard people, and it's horrible, say, I'm swearing on my mother's grave or I'm swearing on my father's grave that I'm telling the truth. Again, you're dragging that person's name, all right, into something that they may have been adamantly opposed to when they were alive. It's one thing when we do it regarding humans, but it's quite another thing when it comes to God. Now, let me go back to our text and notice here how Jesus applies logic here. And he says, but I say to you, all right, you've heard it said, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Notice Jesus covers the bases. And at the heart of what he's saying is, you can't leave God out of any of this. All right? They were, these religious leaders were, hey, we can slick this off because there's two kind of oaths. There's an oath that's binding, and that's when we use God's name. But if we leave God's name out, then we can say something and we don't mean it. In other words, we can lie. We can swear we're telling the truth, but we're just saying, I swear I'm telling the truth by the earth, but the earth be my witness. I'm swearing I'm telling the truth by heaven. Let heaven, you know. I'm swearing I'm telling the truth by that great city of Jerusalem. I swear I'm telling the truth. My head, by my head, chop my head off if I'm not telling the truth. All right? And of course, Jesus is saying, notice, God is involved in all of these things. You can't leave God out because, as he says here, God is in heaven, that's his throne. God is in earth, that's his footstool. God is in that great city of Jerusalem. And by your head, you can't swear by that because who owns your head? You don't have control over any of those things. So how can you come along and play games with the truth? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And here's a great eternal truth we don't want to forget. And a lot of people try to do this. You know, I jokingly shared with you one time about a guy that I knew that said, claimed to be a Christian, fine. And he talked about hitting the bars. And somebody said, well, don't you know that you're taking Jesus in there with you when you go in there? Oh, no, I'm telling him to stay out while I go in, all right? Now, that's in essence what they're doing here. That's how crazy it is. Hey, I swear by heaven, I swear by the earth, I swear by that city, I swear by my head, I'm leaving God out, I'm not bringing God into this, you know. I've got my secular life, I've got my sacred life, I'll divide them, all right. And you know, that's a lot of things that people do when they come to church, all right. And we've talked about this before. You come in here, oh, I wouldn't say a swear word in here. I wouldn't do that. But you go to work the next day, and it's blankety blank this and blankety blank that. And you think, well, you know, this is a sacred place. This is a sanctuary. This is a place where God is. Well, God's in that office. God's in that factory. God is everywhere. And that's what Jesus is saying here. All right? He's saying here, let your yes be yes. And when you say yes, what are you saying? You're just saying, all right, you can count on it. I'm committing. I'm decisive in this. But in our world in which we live in, we have so many empty yeses. You know, yes doesn't mean yes. We've neutered it and we've watered it down. Today, yes means, well, maybe. Maybe. You know, we say yes because we think, well, that's what they want to hear, so I'll say it, but I really don't mean it. You know, they'll say, I do, but now they don't. They'll say, I promise, but, well, I forgot. They'll read, there's a warranty for it, but, oh, no, there's not, all right? The big print giveth and the little print taketh away. You know, I was reading that 30% of people who sign up to be volunteers never show up. They've got good intentions, though, right? What is that famous saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So does a yes mean yes? We've even developed, probably since the last time I talked about this subject, something called spin. It's a new slang word. And it is, especially if you're a politician, all right, and you have lawyers, they'll tell you what to say and what not to say. When you're being confronted with the truth, well, it could be, well, it depends on what your definition of is, okay? We've heard that one before. And so we go around the moon and we have these people who are professionals that saying, okay, I know you said this, I know you said X, but tell him you really meant Y, okay? He said yes, but he really meant no, okay? And let me give you an example. Let's really imagine and pretend something. Let's say that I'm going to audition for a musical. I want to be a singer. I want to be someone, you know, that goes and sings in a great play and on stage. And, you know, that's always been my dream. And I'll say, I once sang in Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful morning. And they, oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Of course, what's the implication is that I once sang in a musical called Oklahoma, all right? When actually I was driving in my car in Oklahoma and I sang, okay? That's how we can twist the truth. I heard a story, true story, about this mother who was disciplining her daughter regarding watching television. And she was having to go to work and she said, I don't want you watching television, all right? But she clarified that. She said, you cannot watch this TV or any TV in this house, nor can you have anyone bring over another TV for you to watch. Neither can you call your friend next door and have her place a TV in her window for you to watch, nor use binoculars to look at the neighbor's TV across the street. Yes means yes, and no means no. Now, let me show you up here on the screen just a hodgepodge list of ways in which we violate this command of Christ that he takes very seriously. You promised you'd be faithful to your spouse. You said you would show up at a certain time. You promised your son you would play ball with him. You assured your roommate you would carry out your end of the load. You signed a contract that committed you to certain things. You told your neighbor you would bring back the tool you borrowed. You swore to tell the truth when you took the stand. You told someone you would pay back the money you borrowed. You signed up for the service you should pay your bills. You said you would call someone back. You told someone you would pray for them. You know, I wonder so many times, you know, on that last one especially, I'll pray for you. And we never do it. We never do it. Here's a third point I want to make this morning. And that is what I want to call the evil yes to God. Notice the last portion of this verse. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. In other words, he's telling us who is the father of lies, the Bible tells us, Satan. All right? Jesus said there in John 8, verse 44, he was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of it. So we're never more like the devil than we make those promises that I just shared and 1,000 others, but we never keep them. And we don't tell the truth, all right? We lie. We don't follow through, all right? We don't follow through. In fact, he says, you know where that comes from? You know when you do that and you don't follow through? You got somebody whispering in your ear. The evil one. Evil personified. The devil himself. You know, you stop and think about it. You take the Word of God, And what is one of the worst things that the Bible talks about we can do is we can add or take away from the word. All right? When our yes doesn't mean yes and our no doesn't mean no, what do? We add and take away from that promise. Oh, you said you would, but now you won't. Now you don't. We add and take away, like I mentioned about the spin merchants, all right? We add and take away. You know, we've all said the wrong yes, haven't we? I mean, how do you mess up your life? One wrong yes, right? One wrong yes. I mean, if I say the right yes, it's going to lead to great success. If I say the wrong yes, it's going to lead to a big mess. You know, Brother Sam, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, so grateful he brought up about what those people in California are going through. You know, you stop and think, and me and Carolyn were talking about this the other day. There is going to come, here is my prophecy for the day. There's going to come a time, number one, I don't see people ever being able to build back what burnt down because you can't get insurance for it. How can you live in a home that you can't get insurance for if you've got any money into it? We realize some of the celebrities that lost their places, they have secondary homes or they have the money to rebuild somewhere. But you think about it. What is happening in our world today? It happened with our church just about a year ago. We were hit with the fact that the insurance company that we used for years literally doubled our rate. I found out in talking to Kirk, our director of missions, and other pastors, other churches have went through the same thing. In fact, one church said we couldn't afford and have not. We are not have insurance to cover our building anymore. Now think about that. We're taking a risk. This was over in Joplin. What I'm getting at is a lot of these places in this world are going to, the insurance companies are saying, we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed. There's no way we can pay this out. So we're going to have to, we can't insure your home here anymore. They could say on us, hey, you guys live in Tornado Alley. We can't insure your place anymore. These places, and you stop and think about it. Years ago, it should have been stopped down in New Orleans and different areas and hurricane areas in Florida where the insurance company say, we can't insure you guys unless we charge you crazy rates because there's inevitability that eventually you're going to get hammered and it's going to destroy your property and we just can't keep paying the tag. Picking up the tab. You know, I saw just the other day, and I really thought about this before I came to church today, because I really wanted to make sure the top of my van didn't have any ice and snow on it that would come off, because I seen last night on the news that if it comes off and it hits somebody's windshield, it can go back on you, which stands to reason. But the point I want to make is, this man who spoke for the insurance company out of Springfield said that if you got to file a claim, and let's say you have a $500 deductible, and it's a $1,000 windshield, because there are some windshields that are that crazy expensive, all right? And, of course, the insurance company will only pay what the deductible, they'll take the $500 off, so you were paying the $500, but he said, you will get dinged for 5 years in a row when you go to renew your insurance. And that is just for a claim of a broken windshield. All of us know here, insurance companies want to take, but they really don't want to give, all right? But especially when they're overwhelmed. And so, again, I think of the evil of the fact that there's so many contracts, as I mentioned earlier, the big print gives and the little print takes away. And that's just the way of the world, and that's the way that the devil operates. And here's Jesus saying, let your yes be no and your no be no, because meaning if you add to or take away, it's coming from the devil himself, which leads me to my final point this morning, and it's 11:38, okay? And that is the right yes to God. The right yes to God. And I want to mention three areas here. First of all, let your yes be yes to the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, again, which reminds us of that we don't serve a negative God, but we serve a positive God, a God of yes. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Think about all the promises. I've got a book at home, all the promises of the Bible. I mean, they're exhaustive. You stop and think about them, all right? Think about all the promises. He says all the promises are yes. They're not no. They're yes, all right? And when God says yes, He means yes. Now, I want to point out to you something that we don't, I don't think, stop and think about. But notice here He says, all the promises of God are yes and a in Him, amen. All right? Notice here a definition I want to put up here on the screen. What does amen mean? Yes to God. All right? If you would amen someone's prayer, you're saying, God, so be it. I agree with what He said. Now, hopefully what He said was in accordance with God's will. He didn't pray something crazy, but He said something that God would say yes to, and so I'm saying yes to it because God says yes to it, and so I say amen. Now, there's a song that we've sang here in this church before, and it's kind of a crazy song because it's repetition. It's called Trading My Sorrows. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. All right? Amen. The right yes to the promises of God will bring about His purposes being fulfilled. You know, have you ever noticed how we communicate yes and no even in our body language? I know I've gotten in trouble before, and I know all you men have out there too. When the wife asks you to do something and, oh, boy, can I do it? But you give her this look like, oh, no, no, wait a minute. That no look, that no look. I heard a story. I'm assuming a true story. One day, President Thomas Jefferson was with a group of companions, and they were traveling. Now, can you imagine a president traveling on horseback? All right, but of course, that was back 200 and some years ago. And they came to this river that had overflowed the banks, and the bridge had washed out. And so each rider was forced to cross that flow and heavy flowing river on horseback. All right. Well, this stranger who was not part of their group was just kind of watching what was going on. And he was very reluctant, you know. He didn't know how he was going to get across. He knew he was going to have to get some help. So as they went across, he went actually to the president, Thomas Jefferson, and asked him if he could ride with him to cross. He didn't know it was the president, but he asked him if he could. Well, after he got on the horseback with President Jefferson, they made it across, and someone asked, well, why did you select the president? He said, I didn't know it was the president, but why did you take him? Why was he the one? He said, well, so many of the other riders had a no look on their face, but Jefferson had a yes look. And how does that really, think about us, you know? I caution you, what I'm trying to bring across that's so important is our God's given us a yes face, all right? He's a yes God. Don't think negative about Him, all right? His promises are amen. His promises are yes. Here's a second word I want to share, second thought I want to share with you. Again, to the Christians out there, let your yes be yes to submitting to God. Notice He says, notice a yes and a no in this one verse. Therefore, submit to God. Yes, submit to God. Here's the no. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Give God the yes face. Give the devil the no one, all right? It involves submission to God and resistance to the devil. And that really characterizes all of our life. We've got to do what? We've got to submit to one in order to resist the other. And I want you to see that the next few verses after verse 7 go on and mention here how we submit to God. Well, notice we draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Don't push Him away. Don't say no. Draw close. Notice, cleanse your hands, you sinners. That is, what is he asking us today? Get right with me. Get your sins cleansed by the blood of Christ. Notice, purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. And again, you're violating the very thing we're talking about here. Your yes be yes and your no be no. Notice he says this. Lament, mourn, and weep. All right. Come together. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, if you're going to submit, you got to get serious with God. Let Him, in order to get your hands clean, in order to get your hearts pure, you're going to have to what? You're going to have to cry some tears, lament, mourn. How bad do you want God to answer your prayers? What are you willing to do to submit to Him? It's not something simply as, well, I submit to you, God. It's get very, very serious. And then this last verse is something we just don't want to do. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And notice what He'll do. He'll lift you up. And that brings me to my last point this morning. Let your yes be yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Notice here. He who is not with me is against me. Now, see, there are a lot of people out there that think, oh, I'm not against Him. I'm not against church. I'm not against prayer. I'm not against congregating together. I'm not against my family going out and meeting, and I'll stay here and you go do your thing. I'm not out and out against. You can't say I'm against God. I'm not against. I would tell you I'm not. Notice. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now, I want to share with you an illustration I heard about a pastor who was witnessing to a couple of young ladies. And he concluded by talking to them saying, would you like to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And one lady said, yes, I would. And she did. And then he turned to the other one and he said, would you like to pray to receive Jesus? And she said, I'm not ready. Well, he explained again and to her, and he read that verse up here on the screen to her, you know. And he said, young lady, he said, don't you realize if you do not say yes to Jesus, then you're saying no to Jesus and you're rejecting Him? That's what the scripture says. He says, he that's not with me is against me. Do you understand? She said, oh, no, I'm not rejecting Him. I'm just not ready to receive Him. Well, he said, I've got to go. So would you shake hands with me? She said, sure. He said, well, if you'll take Christ in heaven, take my right hand. If you'll take Satan in hell, take my left hand. She said, what? He said, you said you'd shake. She puts both hands behind her. She says, I'm not going to take either one. He said, young lady, you're not allowed to do that. By not taking my hand and taking Christ, you've chose against Him. And now that you've chose against Him, you're going to have to live with the consequences of not choosing Him. See, when it comes to Christ, it's either let your yes be yes or your no be no. There's no middle ground. There's no fence that we can straddle. Every one of us, before our life is over, we've made a resounding yes or no. And we all know people that say they've said yes, but their lifestyle says, no, not really. Their yes really didn't mean yes, all right? It really meant no. And they are that deceived. Will you stand with us this morning? Hey, it's 11:48. Man alive, you guys won't want to fix the clock now, all right? 11:48 is our musician come today.